Well, hello there, and welcome to my almost midlife crisis. I'm your host, Jennifer Mathis. This podcast is about that time in your life when you're not quite old yet, but I mean, you're no longer young either. And as we get older, our eyes are open to the realities of life. Life isn't fair. Policies don't work for everyone. Society plays a bigger role in our personal lives than we'd probably prefer. And in today's episode, we're going to be discussing what is called Generation Disaster, or those born between 1989 and 2001. And while that doesn't include me personally, I do find myself being able to relate. So if you are born during this time, or you want to learn more about why they're being given this name, then this one's for you. I was reading this article the other day, and listen, before I even get started, if my audio quality is a little wonky, I am recording remotely. I'm in Seattle visiting my dad, and my dumbass forgot my microphone. I'm just using my computer right now and the microphone on it. And I am sitting under a blanket, like in another room. Listen, I'm doing the best I can. So just work with me today, okay? But I was reading an article the other day, and it really just made me think. It was this interview with this author, Carla. I'm going to murder her last name. I want to say it's like Vermeulen. That's the last time I'm going to try to say that. But she has a new book called Generation Disaster. And in the interview, Carla defines this group as having their childhood or early adolescence occurring in the immediate wake of the attacks of 9/11. And this group doesn't remember a time that Americans didn't believe there was a risk of another terrorist attack, or a time when the U.S. wasn't at war somewhere in the world. This group has seen friends or relatives join the military because they had no other employment options and then return with physical or psychological wounds. Reports about climate change and the effects it will have on them personally in their lives has become increasingly urgent, and they've seen it for themselves because weather just continues to be out of whack with the increase in natural disasters like wildfires and hurricanes, tornadoes, droughts. They've experienced mass shootings for most of their lives in schools and public settings, targeting members of their own generation. Their childhood and adolescence occurred during a serious economic recession and this increasing wealth gap. And they've entered adulthood during extreme political conflicts with their country and most of the times their families. And let's not forget the witnessing and often participating movements like Black Lives Matter and Me Too. And if that all wasn't enough, they also grew up in a time when all of this was on full display in mass and social media. But before you get your panties in a bunch and you start arguing that every generation had their fair share of hardships, yeah, obviously. But we're talking about this generation today, okay? So Carla looked at the cumulative impact of these traumas on children, adolescents, and young adults, and they found that this cohort is more stressed than ever. And she conducted a study with some really sad results that now I'm going to share to depress you. So 37% said that they knew someone who had died of a drug overdose. So let me remind you, if these people were born, the youngest being born in 2001, that means that they were born when I was in college, which also means that they are 20 years old. So 30 at the earliest, granted, some of them are older, but this is a younger cohort. So 30% said that they were very or extremely concerned they would be affected by a natural disaster, but 48% were at least somewhat concerned. 36% said that they were very or extremely concerned that their community will be affected by a human-caused disaster like a terrorist attack or a mass shooting. And 46% were somewhat concerned. And lastly, 46% were very or extremely concerned that they or their community will be affected by climate change. 35% somewhat concerned. Ugh, like not great. And I know on this podcast I give Gen Zers a hard time sometimes. But in reality, I also have a lot of respect for them and my younger millennial counterparts, specifically in social and environmental issues. After all, I can relate to some of this, right? Like I had school shooter drills in high school. I watched my brother go to war multiple times and never 100% be the same. I was personally affected by the housing crash. I vividly remember watching the attacks of 9/11 my sophomore year of college live and feeling horrified. But the difference is that I also remember what it was like before all of that. When we went to our recycling class in school, but didn't really understand the impacts of climate change and what we were facing. When I could ride my bike or roller skates to Dairy Queen across town without parents and without fear of being sexually assaulted or kidnapped or shot. When I thought that everything was fair and everyone in public office had good intentions. When we were fighting over who got to pick the card on David Copperfield's TV special, not over our politics. When I could go to school and not worry about guns. When my parents provided a great middle-class life and protests weren't a regular occurrence or really an occurrence at all. I feel fortunate I was able to have that childhood and young adulthood ignorant of the problems in our society and country, when bigger problems seem far away, not at all at home. And while I'm really into politics now, I don't talk about them on this podcast, but I am really into them. That wasn't always the case. Obama was actually the first presidential race I even voted in because he was the first president that felt like he understood me and he spoke my language. He felt relatable to me and more approachable than the skew of older white men that felt more like my grandpa than relatable. But when I got older and I read about this generation disaster, I realized how lucky I am to have stayed naive and ignorant for so long. Because let's face it, they weren't that lucky. So it's less surprising when teenagers like Greta Thunberg takes on the global community to demand change for her generation and for more to come. It's not surprising when the Parkland shooting survivors, these kids, right, like led the conversation on gun control. They're trying to put out the dumpster fire we have handed to them. And I do feel some responsibility for that. I think one of the reasons I got so worked up about politics is because, honestly, I think I just have some guilt that I didn't pay attention to all of this sooner. And now as an almost middle-aged person, I realize that I've spent more than half my life completely ignorant to the world around me, and it's something I'm kind of embarrassed about. But now that my eyes have been opened, I can't just leave all that cleanup work to my younger counterparts. So what can I do? I think the hardest part of this younger generation is the social media angle, because it really amplifies everything. I mean, I remember when I was in college, I wrote a paper on media's impact on a woman's body image. Yep, feminist right from the start. Which was negative, as you can imagine, because I grew up in between Kate Moss and Pamela Anderson. So you either could fit your upper arm into a watch band or you were full with like just plastic and materials that weren't supposed to be in your body. Probably why I would hide my makeup when I was 12 years old, because I didn't want to go to school with my natural face, and my mom wouldn't let me get makeup until I was in high school. But even knowing the harm on my own self-esteem and body image the media caused as I grew up, I cannot imagine how much worse it would be if there was social media to deal with. The filters alone are going to get you. I mean, God forbid you post a picture without a filter. In fact, when you do, it's so uncommon you're supposed to use the hashtag no filter. God forbid you take a picture of me without having to pretty much get on a ladder to get the right downward angle so it's more flattering for Instagram. And when I'm a grown-ass woman, this is still important because honestly, it's difficult to be an aging woman when our society has such heightened sense of body dysmorphia amplified by influencers and social media accounts. Growing up with this would have been so much more difficult. Like, you're still learning about yourself. Your body's going through changes. I think we could all agree that there was this chunk of time in our lives that we would have never posted a pic on social media. Mine was when I cut my hair short to be like Meg Ryan and You Got Mail. If you don't know, you should Google it. That was my hairstyle. And it did not look as good as it did on Meg Ryan. But when we were growing up, we only had to worry about the people we knew that would make fun of us at school. These kids have an entire internet as a threat. And worse, anonymous bullies that hide behind their usernames and fake accounts while they leave hateful and horrible comments with the intent to hurt the receiver. I see this on TikTok a lot. There's a lot of what they call these like response videos where the user posts a video response to a hateful comment they received. It's kind of sad if you think about it. And sometimes these videos are, you know, witty and they're funny and you can laugh about it, right? And other times they're genuinely sad. I will never forget this one that I watched. She was no more than 13 years old, right? And she would post these videos of her singing. Like when we were younger and we would perform in front of our parents, okay? Or like my niece and nephew loved to like dance and perform for us, like a lot of kids do. But it's on TikTok. It's like pure innocence because she just loved to sing, right? Was she good? I mean, no, not really. She was no Ariana Grande. I mean, the girl's like 13 years old, just like some random girl. I don't know where she's from, probably like in the middle of Iowa, you know? But was she horrible? No, she wasn't. But that's not even the point. Some assholes started commenting on her videos, you know, making fun of her. So she posted one crying and pleading for people to leave her alone. I mean, she literally was like, you know, I'm just trying my best and I'm still learning, you know, and their comments, your comments are really hurtful. Like, could you imagine the damage it would do if when you got up in front of the family to perform this like dance or song, they just like humiliated you in public? Like, think of all the comedians and the talent that we love today that started off that same way and would have never pursued their dreams. Like, who are these assholes that do that? Seriously. So this generation, Generation Disaster, are they the only generation that has, you know, seen horrible shit in their lives? No. But something to keep in mind is that they have seen more within those really formative years, right, of that childhood and early adolescence. Like, they've seen it from the beginning. Like, they never really had a time they weren't seeing it. And I think that's the biggest change. And then you have that, but then add on social media. And, you know, we can sit here and compare all day long on, you know, well, there's people in this country that, you know, had it worse. Like, of course, like there's always going to be someone that had it worse. Always. Like, this is not a competition of who had a shittier life. But we also just can't ignore that whether you agree with it or not, that the statement Generation Disaster, we can't ignore that these kids, there are psychological effects that are happening on them. And these are also the future of our society. So maybe we should pay attention. So Generation Disaster, listen, I'm sorry. I'm sorry we didn't do enough to protect you from the harms of this world longer. I'm sorry that we stole your childhood and the ignorantly blissful childhood that you deserve. I'm sorry that you now have to clean up the mess we made, but you aren't alone. You know, there are those of us that do care and are fighting right there next to you. Maybe it's standing next to you at a protest. Maybe it's reporting the asshole that left you the nasty comment on TikTok and maybe adding one of our own to support you so that you would keep going. I may think your closing choices are questionable and get annoyed when you call me Chugi, but you're good people. Thank you so much for listening. Subscribe, review, pass along to a friend. You can also subscribe to my blog that includes transcripts of episodes if you don't feel like listening to my voice at myalmostmidlifecrisis.com. And if you haven't checked it out yet, I have made a new podcast, technically, called A Women's Place that discusses the political and social issues facing women today. See Generation Disaster? I told you I was there with you. A Woman's Place is available on Spotify so far and more to come. Until next time.